to 19. It's only 9 verses, so let us read together. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Today we have Pastor Peter to share with us this message, and the title of the sermon is entitled "To Be Grateful." Pastor Peter?
Thank you, Jeffrey. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the season of Thanksgiving. Father, we know that we need to have our hearts and minds always with in a thankful mode. And we want to thank you for everything you give us for every single day. But Father, especially this season, we want to lift up to you all the blessings you have given us, both the tangibles and the intangibles. And Father, may that also that you'll be continue to be with us as we continue to with the service, and that it will take hold our hearts and minds so that we can be one in listening to your words. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's title is called entitled to be grateful. But at the end, it might not be turn out as the way that it's, the title says. So please pay attention. Not long ago, in my former life as an engineer, I used to travel for the company. I used to fly on airplanes. I don't have wings, so I fly on airplanes. I remember on some of those trips, I encountered a very, very bad experience. The planes would fly into turbulence. Have you ever gotten on an airplane that fly into turbulence before? Raise your hand. Do you enjoy that experience? No. Well, neither did I, okay? It went on. On one occasion, it went on for 10 minutes, okay? It goes, you wave at me. Okay, you went on the train, okay. It goes for 10 minutes, and it actually goes dips up and down for that duration, and only with very short interval in between. And so it wasn't a good feeling, because you feel like you're on a roller coaster, right? And then it's about 30,000 feet that you can fall. And so it's a long way down. And so when we get down to the ground, I breathe a sign of relief. And it really made me want to kiss the ground. And I would go back home, actually, hug my wife. I felt so helpless, and there was absolutely nothing that I can do about the predicament that I was in. So everyone on the plane was very, very relieved, but also they knew that they were at the mercy of God. How about you? Have you ever found yourself stuck in a helpless and hopeless situation? What will you do in desperation? Pray. Okay, wonderful. That's always a universal answer. You went to the doctor for a medical test expecting the worst, right? But your tests come back negative. What will you do to celebrate? Pray. Okay. Wonderful. So, praise. Okay, this morning's passage is taken from Luke. Okay, and so it's the story of the 10 lepers. They ran through some tough situation in their lives, and which I believe we can identify with and learn from some of the principles as we go through it. Okay, so some background on leprosy. Okay, leprosy. Okay, the medical name for leprosy is Hansen's disease. The disease causes nerve damages in three main areas of the body: face, hands, and feet. It disfigures the face, causes bumps on the skin, and it numbs extremities, so it won't feel any pain. And so the horrific consequences of that is that it will cause their fingers and hands to fall off unintentionally and unknowingly. For example, a leper would sometimes reach into burning fire and try to fetch something out of that so that you can, for example, a piece of food or something like that. But they have no pain. They don't feel anything. As a result, what happens is that they lose their hands and lose their fingers. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14, this health issue is addressed in the Israeli community. In the Bible history, there was no medical treatment nor cure for leprosy. The chance of recovery was zero. It was a death sentence that killed slowly. Socially, priests served as health inspectors. Lepers were declared unclean by the priests and cast out. They were isolated to live in colonies or camps away from the community. The disease robbed them of health, family, friends, loved ones, their fellowship, and the worship community. They have lost their social status of power, positions, and possessions. They were also dehumanized. Lepers were not supposed to approach anyone. They are not supposed to enter into cities. They have an obligation to live away from people, and they need to tear their clothes and say, "unclean, unclean," as they come upon a person. And lepers are required to keep a distance. They had to remain at least 150 feet or 46 meters away if they were upwind, walking upwind, and then 6 feet and 1.8 meters if they are downwind. So the Jewish historian Josephus says, and he summarized it by saying, the lepers were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. So today's Bible passage is punctuated with three spoken sentences. First is the cry for deliverance from the lepers, followed by the cry out to worship of the Samaritan, and also completed by Jesus calling him out of the salvation. Let me read verse 11 to 14 again. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lift up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. But Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem when he passed through the village of Samaria. And upon entrance, Jesus probably passed the leper camp outside of the village. 10 of them cried out to him from a distance. And the fact that the 10 of them was at camp indicated they have been developed into full-blown leprosy. They have been deemed unclean by the priests. They saw Jesus passing by and crying out, saying, "Well, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." Well, the word master in Greek carries a meaning of someone who has authority and the power to perform miracles, who is capable, expert, and practitioners. In the Gospel of Luke, only disciples of Jesus called them masters. So by calling the Lord Master, the lepers indicated to a certain measure of faith in Jesus. The lepers might have heard of him performing healing miracles before. They have the basic faith and the power in the power of the passion of a healer. Now they only low off Jesus and his supernatural healing records. Their faith in Jesus was meager and shallow. Now the Lord still have a compassion on them. The phrase "have mercy on us" is an admission of unworthiness and of total humility and desperation. But the same word "mercy" in Greek showed up in other healing situations as well. The context has the meaning of crying out in desperation. The Lord has healed before, regardless of faith of the individual. Whether the sick, the blind, or the lame has a genuine faith in him or not, Christ has sovereignty to choose who will be healed. And in this case, he chose to heal the lepers. His compassionate acts do not depend on the faith of the recipient at the time of healing. And as a matter of fact, the Lord has raised people from the dead where faith has no part at all. It is not the first time Jesus has encountered lepers either. He healed lepers previously by touching them. That's back in chapter 5 of the same book. Only this time the healing is performed remotely, and there is no physical contact or for no particular reason. Jesus is fully aware of the obligations of the Levitical law, and he sent the lepers off to show the priests and that they were cleansed. And even before they were evidence of healing, the lepers trust and obeyed. And this really highlighted the fact that their desperation and the desire to have faith in the healing power of Jesus. Also, we pay attention to the word cleanse. The word cleanse in Greek, in verse 14, has the meaning of not only to be healed of the disease, but it also contain the meaning of saying that the person will be integrated back into the community and have their life back. Jesus Christ has compassion on the lepers and healed them both physically and socially. It was a complete deliverance for them. Moving on to verse 15 and 16, it says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan." One of the 10 lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned around. Overwhelmed by grace, he cried out in a loud voice and praised God and worshiped Jesus. He was compelled by his realization that Jesus is God incarnated. Only God can perform such a big miracle and deliver him from a lifetime of suffering and condemnation. And he was a Samaritan. His posture of falling on his face and his thanksgiving are great expressions of his gratitude to Jesus. Verse 16 reveals Luke's understanding of who Jesus really is also. Jesus, in this case, is the temple. He is the powerful and merciful God in person, and he is the God that both the Jews and Samaritans seek to worship. Interestingly also, the Jews and Samaritans has been disagreeing on where to worship. According to John chapter 4, the Samaritans has been believed that they should worship on Mount Gerizim, while the Jews believe he is in Jerusalem. But the Samaritan knew at this point where God really dwells. He dwells in Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, his presence becomes the place of worship, and he is the temple where God is present. Jews has no dealings with Samaritans. Samaritans were despised by Jews. They intermarried with foreigners when the northern kingdom fell to Assyria. And furthermore, they believed only part of the Hebrew scripture. But ironically, it was the Samaritan, not the Jews, who recognized the true identity of Jesus. Once again, this demonstrates God has called out to all nations to come to him. But God's people, Israel, has yet realized the significance. The Samaritans who was healed of leprosy came back and give thanks to the true God, Jesus. He knew he had encountered God face to face. The Samaritan also knew that for God who he really is. And because of this, he was called out for salvation. In verse 17 to 19, it reads, "Then Jesus answers, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" U.S. money. This is a U.S. penny. There is a new profession in finding rare coins in the United States. It's called coin rolling. People would go to the bank and buy rolls of coins and go through them one by one. And there have been document cases that valuable coins were found and that far exceeded the face value. For example, this is a 1969 US penny, and there's a deformity on there. Can anybody see the deformity? It was struck twice, right? You can see the double image on some of the words, okay? It was struck twice. How much do you think it's worth? Not one penny. Any wild guess, it wouldn't be too out of bound. Any wild guess? It's in the thousands. It's actually valued at $24,000. One penny, okay. So the original owner of the penny had a treasure in his hands, but he spent it for his face value for just 1 cent. He probably used it as change in the supermarket. But why would anyone want to do that? Because he doesn't know the value. But that's exactly what the light Jewish lepers did. They sell themselves short of receiving God's full blessings. Jesus questioned, highlight the ingratitude of the 9 lepers who were Jews. The Jews had more knowledge about Messiah and his coming than foreigners. They should have recognized who Jesus was and expressed their gratitude as well. But their lack of responsiveness was typical of the Jews in those days. It illustrates the fact that the Jews were happy to receive the benefit of Jesus' ministry, but did not bother thanking him or making a connection with God. They already got what they want out of Jesus. They have no desire to worship him, nor to thank him. They don't want to glorify God. Their attitude has always been, we are the people of God, and God gives us what we deserve. There was no sense of sin. They are looking for a potential political Messiah and not as someone that saved their souls. The word foreigner in Greek literally means another race. Jesus called the Samaritan a foreigner. It's a strong word. This same word is written in the outer wall of the temple in Jerusalem. It forbids any foreigner access to the inner court of the temple. Violators will be killed. The Samaritan is a foreigner that is outside the people of God. He can't go inside the temple, but he returned and met God face to face in his own place of holies of holies and worshiped him in complete joy. The Samaritan returned not just to show gratitude, but also to seek out what his soul really needs, which is salvation. Jesus said to him, your faith had made you well. The faith he had was a deeper faith than the other 9. The faith he had caused him to recognize Jesus is the one who is worthy of worship. And what made him well? Well, some translation translated into has saved you, and this should be the proper translation. It said, you should say, your faith has saved you. In Samaritan's faith, the Samaritan's faith saved him spiritually. He received salvation and eternal life, and he was saved for the second time. People who Jesus delivered and who believe on him have a moral obligation to express their gratitude to him for what he has done for them. But the more important lesson is that only by worshiping the Lord who gives life can we have life to the fullest. And this is what the Samaritan has. Well, how do we apply this to our lives today? Well, first of all, this is not a Chinese lesson, but this is the idiom that I learned when I was growing up from in Hong Kong, way back when, and I won't tell you how long ago. My father teach me this. He says, always remember. I remember in my early teen years. Some of you know what this means. But for those who don't, it literally means think about where the water originated from when you drink. And don't forget to repay the grace you have received. Okay? Pretty good, right? Okay, translation, right? Pretty close. Okay, so basically it says, you know, don't forget. Think about just where the water originated from when you drink it. Okay? And just don't forget to repay the grace you have received. This is something that is given to you by grace. But I think the semantics carries a much deeper meaning. It says, don't forget how you get here. Okay? It says, don't forget to show gratitude to those who had a part in nurturing you to where you are today. Now, for most of us, we show gratitude to our parents because they play a big role in our lives. In our Chinese culture, which is strongly influenced by Confucianism, filial piety, meaning honoring the parents, is on top of the list. God's word teaches us exactly that also in the fifth commandment. It's recorded in the book of Exodus chapter 20, honor your parents. But as Christians, Jesus gave us eternal life and salvation. Our abundant life comes from knowing Jesus Christ and accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I come here that you may have life and have it abundantly. John 10, verse 10. We become God's chosen people owing to the work of Christ on the cross. And now we have the hope of spending eternity with Christ. We have the Word of God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us navigate through life's challenges. It is God who gets us to where we are. And like the Samaritans, we need to show our gratitude to God. Next, there is always more to go to God than the eye can see. Don't cheat yourself out of God's full blessing, and do not take Christ for granted. Nine of the ten lepers that were healed kept going. Perhaps they were so overjoyed to have their new lease on life again, and can't wait to show them to the priest. They can't wait to get started on the process to be certified clean again by the priest. After all, their family and loved ones are waiting. And their power, their position, and possession in the society needs time to be restored. It takes a long time to restore a dead man to life. And the certification process to get clean again or to be certified clean again will take 8 days initially, and it could take another 8 days and may involve a trip to Jerusalem and sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 14 prescribes all the details there. So it's going to take a long time, and so they want to get started early. But that's unfortunate and myopic. The nine lepers encounter a treasure and spend it on the mundane. They have no spiritual sensitivity to the awesome God in their presence. It's like being invited to a banquet and not staying for the meals. It's like being invited to a wedding and not staying at the exchange of vows. They chose the instant gratification of the present and forfeit the opportunity to build an everlasting relationship with the eternal God himself. They missed out the best part of the encounter with Jesus. They got what they wanted from the Lord and moved on. They failed to treasure their relationship with the Almighty. One cannot help but wonder what happened if they're infected with leprosy again in the future. How would the nine lepers plead a case with God now? Okay. Jesus has nothing permanent to give us except for eternal life and salvation. It is the best gift we can receive. Whenever we have an encounter with God in the up and downs of our life, Don't give up too soon and stay until the end of the show. Lastly, do not take God for granted and reach for a deeper relationship with Him. The three sentences from today's devotion or today's sermon: cry for deliverance, cry out to worship, and call out for salvation, could be a reflection of where you are in our spiritual journey. Where are you in your spiritual journey? Do you know God? Or you just do you know of Him? Have you come to know the Lord and to love Him for who He is and not what He can do for us? The Samaritan came back to worship God and reach for a deeper relationship with Him. To help us do that, I figured that we can invent something called the Dear Lord Index, the DLI. When there are urgent and pressing events in our lives, we tend to spend more time in prayers and our relationship with God heats up. And when the urgency has tapered down, the event is over, we tend to spend less time in prayer and the relationship with God cools down. But if this is our pattern, how are we different from the 9 Jewish lepers who got what they want from God and left the relationship idle? So what is your current Dear Lord Index? The ideal is to maintain a constant level and at a relatively high value. So let us not to take our identity as God's son and daughters for granted, and always carry it with us a thankful heart as we joyfully enjoy our fellowship with Him. We are not entitled to the gift of salvation or deliverance from the law, but we are entitled to express our gratefulness upon receiving them. To demonstrate our gratitude, we have three things at our disposal: our time, our talent, and our treasure. So in closing, know God, know life. Know God, know life. I believe this slide captures the heart of the message today. And this is exactly what the Samaritan saw. Only by worshiping the Lord who gives life can we have life to the fullest. The Samaritan did. How about you? Let's pray. Dear Jesus,